John 1:4, it says, in him was life.
Right.
But he wants his life to what? To be dispensed into you and me.
Amen.
We sang earlier this matter, right, that there is a flowing, right, river. Right, this is one of these examples that we find in the Bible talking about the triune God. His desire, right, to flow himself.
Amen.
As what? As life.
Amen.
Into each and every one of us. So when we're touching this matter of the kingdom, we need to make sure that we are focusing actually on this person, Christ Jesus, and we are focusing on this dispensing of life, his desire to have this life flow into us, right? And so when I was considering this, actually, you could look with me. This is in Luke chapter 17. You know, the Pharisees, they had this question. You know, they were asking Jesus, when is, you know, the kingdom of God, when is it going to come on earth? And so in in Luke chapter 17, maybe we could read this together, 20 and 21.
Amen.
Ready? Verse 20. And when he was questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and saying, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, behold, here it is, or there. For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. I really like that last phrase. The kingdom of God is in the midst of you.
Amen.
See, the Pharisees, they thought the kingdom was something physical, something outward. But actually, the Lord there said, it's not, you know, oh, there, now you're going to see it. Or all of a sudden, here it is. But actually, the Lord was pointing at himself.
Right.
He was referring to himself. Who is the kingdom? The Lord Jesus. The person of the Lord Jesus. He is the kingdom. And so when the Lord Jesus came, the kingdom was there. And so tonight, I hope all of us, we've all received the Lord. So guess what? Actually, that means the kingdom is inside of us. He's inside of us. Actually, we'll see later on as these outlines are developed, that through regeneration, guess what? You've received the kingdom seed.
That's right.
This seed of the kingdom is now in each and every one of us.
Amen.
But do we just let it stay as a seed? No, right? We need to let it grow.
Amen.
This seed needs to grow.
Amen.
The Lord needs to grow in us.
Amen.
And this is why we're here this weekend.
Amen.
We're here for the Lord to grow more in us.
Amen.
So we need to realize that this kingdom is a person. And this kingdom, another way to define it, like I mentioned earlier, is also a realm. It's a sphere. It's a place where the Lord Jesus, as the King, he could set up his throne in us. And he could have a way to rule and reign in us. A kingdom is a sphere where the ruler can do whatever he wants.
Amen.
And we are so blessed to be chosen by God to be his kingdom today.
Amen.
You just consider. You consider the world situation. You look at the news. You look at what's going on. The whole world is in a heap of collapse. This whole universe. You know what we're looking for is we're looking for the kingdom to come.
Amen.
To be set up.
Amen.
So that this chaos, right, can be restored. That this universe can be restored. And that, you know, the church, as the kingdom, can take the lead to be headed up.
Amen.
And so this is what we're after. Having said kind of briefly of this matter, my burden really is to just share a few verses on how we can prepare ourselves, right, for this kingdom, right? And I just can't help but think, you know, before the Lord Jesus came, there was a particular ministry of John the Baptist, right? And he actually, if you study his ministry, one of the outstanding features was what? That he came and he preached this matter of repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens have drawn near. So tonight, brothers and sisters, we all need to come to repentance.
Amen.
And if you look at this word repentance in the Greek, this word repent, it actually means to have a turn. It's to have a turn in our thinking, a turn in our thoughts. Maybe you are going one way, right? And we need to going away that's, you know, going away from the Lord. We need to turn back to the Lord. And many times, actually, I just speak for myself, I find myself very easily, especially as you grow older, more things come up in life. I'm married, now I have kids, have a house, and people get sick, cars break down. You who are students, you have exams. And so there's a lot of things, right? Maybe even tonight, you're thinking about something. But I hope that all of us, now we're here at the Kingston Penuel Christian Center, may we all have a turn.
Amen.
A turn, Lord. And actually, it is so easy to make this turn. I'm just so helped by these simple prayers.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, I just turn my wandering heart to Thee.
Amen.
Didn't you enjoy that hymn?
Yeah.
It's so easy. The Lord is waiting. He's just waiting for us to pray this simple prayer. Lord, I'd just like to turn my heart to You.
Amen.
You know, this morning I was enjoying this hymn. I forgot what number it was, but the stanza says, turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Amen.
Look full into His wonderful, right? Wonderful face, right? And the things of the earth will go strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I like that third line, the things of the earth. Sometimes, you know, as you're, and actually there's a verse I want to get to, but I just share this point. You know, when we're going on in our Christian life, you know we should be following the Lord. We know the goal is Christ in the church. But sometimes things happen, right? Things get complicated. There's so many things of the earth that start to distract us, right? And we don't realize it, and all of a sudden we're like, being led astray. But I so appreciate that when we turn our eyes upon Jesus, these other things grow strangely dim. And so when we make this turn and we look at Him, we gaze at Him, then we care for nothing else. These things just seemingly, they don't matter to us anymore. How about you turn with me to this verse here. And this is in Luke chapter 3. And again, this is John the Baptist here. Verse 4 and verse 5. How about we read that together? As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight His paths. Every ravine shall be filled up, and every mountain and hill shall be level, and the crooked places shall become a straight way, and the rough way smooth. Amen. So before we can reach this matter of the kingdom, I appreciate that there is this preparation. Right? And here it says, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight His paths. And I really like the next verse. Every ravine. What's a ravine? Ravines are low places, right? Every mountain and hill shall be level. So actually, this is a description of our heart, our condition before God. You know, sometimes we just feel down. We find ourselves in a low situation.
Uh-huh.
We're in a ravine. But guess what? The ravines can be filled up.
Amen.
Aren't you glad our ravines can be filled up?
Amen.
And sometimes we might consider ourselves too highly of, you know, of ourselves. You know, we need to be brought down to earth.
Amen.
The mountain needs to be leveled.
Amen.
I hope when we come in such a gathering like this, that we come poor in spirit.
Amen.
Right? It says in Matthew, but blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Right? Otherwise, there's no way for us to see or enter into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
There's another verse in Luke chapter 1, verse 53. It says that those who hunger, he will fill with good things. But those who are rich or full, he will be sent away empty.
Amen.
So may we be here this weekend,
yes,
poor in spirit,
amen,
hungry, so that the Lord can fill us with good things.
Amen.
May the mountain be leveled, right?
Amen.
And the hills need to be leveled. And the crooked places need to what? Become straight.
Amen.
You know, being crooked, that means it's complicated, right? Your life all of a sudden became complicated. Like earlier, sometimes we need to be simplified,
amen,
before the Lord, right? To make our way straight so that we could come to the Lord, right, in a straight way, and then the rough way smooth. And so, you know, I hope, you know, through just kind of this introductory word, that, you know, we really take these things before him. You know, one of the wonderful benefit of being here in this camp is, well, number one, your cell phone service is not so good. And so we're freed from many, many distractions.
Amen.
It's actually a salvation to us. And, you know, you just actually, if you're new here, we definitely recommend you to explore, you know, the grounds. You know, there are a lot of different places where you could just spend personal time,
amen,
by yourself, right, with the Lord.
Yeah.
With no one else to kind of distract you. And I really hope that we really take this opportunity, this weekend, right, that we give this weekend to the Lord, right, so that he could really reveal what's on his heart,
amen,
to us, right, so that he could really gain more ground in us,
amen,
so that we can really become his kingdom people,
amen,
right, to fulfill what is on his heart's desire.
Amen.
Amen.
Good evening. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm so happy to be here with you.
Amen.
To behold the face of God.
Amen.
I hope you're full of expectation this weekend.
Amen.
To see God face to face.
Amen.
Oh Lord, appear to me.
Amen.
This weekend I want to hear a word from you personal.
Amen.
That should be our heart this weekend.
Amen.
Lord, I want to see you. I want to hear from you personally.
Amen.
Appear to me. Like our brother Shepherd was saying, we have these beautiful grounds. You can explore them. You can spend time with the Lord. And just open your heart to him.
Amen.
The matter of the kingdom and living in the kingdom is a matter of our heart.
Amen.
Our heart is the loving organ. It's our loving organ. And our heart is the entrance and the exit of our being. So as we are here tonight, our desire is that we all would have a turn from whatever it is that is distracting us, from whatever it is that we are on, that we would have a turn from that to the Lord.
Amen.
Maybe we're still considering the bad day I had, or that guy that just cut me on the highway, or you may have had a very good day, praise the Lord. But whatever your day was, whatever your week was, let us go and hold a feast unto Jehovah.
Amen.
3 days' journey.
Amen.
Let's get out of this world.
Amen.
Let's go meet our God face to face.
Amen.
Let's go hold a feast unto him.
Amen.
Let's go render sacrifice to him.
Amen.
Right? these three phrases are used in Exodus. To go 3 days' journey to hold a feast unto Jehovah. To go 3 days' journey to serve the Lord, right? And also to go 3 days' journey to sacrifice unto Jehovah, right? As we are here at this conference, we are away from our daily life. And this is a very good opportunity to leave everything behind and really meet the Lord face to face. And like I said, this is a matter of our heart. And we know that in the New Testament, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians that whenever the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we can behold and reflect the Lord.
Amen.
And I just pray that all of us would have a turn to the Lord.
Amen.
From whatever it is. Maybe you're concerned about your grades. Maybe you wish, maybe I shouldn't have come. I have a test on Monday. Forget about it. You're here today.
Amen.
You're here this weekend.
Amen.
And, you know, as you give this 48 hours to the Lord, I believe the Lord will honor you.
Amen.
With his presence and with his speaking.
Amen.
And with his leading. But everything depends where your heart is.
Amen.
So may all of us have a heart turned to the Lord.
Amen.
As I was saying, our heart is the loving organ. And our heart is the entrance and exit of our being. But we also have a part in our being. We're tripartite beings. And the deepest part of our being is our spirit, which is the organ with which we contact God. And we can, that's where we contain God. That's our spirit, right? And there is something also in our being that is called our heart. You know, when I was quoting to you that verse, whenever the heart turns to the Lord, of course, it's not talking about our physical heart. It's talking about our psychological heart that is composed of all the parts of our soul, which are our mind, our will, and our emotion, plus our conscience, right? And in order to have a proper heart this weekend, in order to deal with the heart, the Bible tells us in Matthew 5:8 that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Amen.
So the matter of dealing with our heart is to make our heart pure. The problem with our heart is that it may be clean, but it may not be pure. And what is the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Clean is that we have nothing that condemns us before the Lord. We have confessed our sins. We may not have anything bothering us in our heart, right? But we may have many goals besides the Lord. And a pure heart is a heart that only has the Lord as its goal.
Amen.
And I always, as I shared this, I was sharing with the sisters as we were coming. I always put myself in your shoes as a student or as a young working person. Here you are, and you're working. You're maybe striving to be the best at your job and to get maybe that promotion. Or in school, you're striving to get the best grade so you can get a good job after you have graduated, right? All these things are things that we desire, and that reflects what's in our heart. So then there is a conflict. Okay, here I am. I am a human being. I'm in school. But what is my goal? And what I was considering was, okay, as I'm studying this, as I'm working, we have to deal with the Lord to the extent that we can tell the Lord, Lord, the reason I'm getting this degree is for you.
Amen.
The reason I have this job is for you. That means that whatever other goal we had has been washed away.
Amen.
But that doesn't happen because a person tells you this. That happens when you spend time in the presence of God.
Amen.
And you open your heart to him.
Amen.
And you let him know, Lord, I have a heart here. And the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart. But I realize I have many other goals before me. So I just put these goals before you, Lord. I'd like you to and encumber me. Lord, do a work in my heart so that in my life I could testify with a good conscience that my only goal is God Himself.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
May we have this kind of dealing with the Lord. So that what? So that the seed of the kingdom that had to be sown into our heart would have the good ground to grow.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
Oh, so good. And you know, there are a few verses that point to being pure in heart and to be single in heart. The first one, as I mentioned, is Matthew 5:8. It says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Then in Psalms 73:1 says, "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart." And then in Second Timothy 2:22 says, "But flee youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart."
Amen.
Isn't that good that we can be here this weekend?
Amen.
With those who are being dealt with to purify their hearts.
Amen.
Or maybe for those who have a pure heart.
Amen.
Right? Praise the Lord, we're here.
Amen.
With other companions this weekend that we can pursue together.
Amen.
Acts 2:26 points to the matter of singleness. It says, this is Acts 2:26. "Therefore my heart was made glad and my tongue exalted." No. That's not. Acts 2:46. Can somebody look at Acts 2:46? It says, "And day by day," let me look it up. Right? "And day by day," it says, "And day by day continued steadfastly with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They partook of their food with exultation and simplicity of heart." That word could also be translated singleness. I got enlightened today as I was reading that. That means as they were enjoying their food, in their heart, their only goal was God. No wonder they were happy. You know what I mean? Day by day and from house to house, they partook of their food with exultation and simplicity of heart. That means their heart was single. Their heart just was fully fixed on God Himself. And what his heart. So another verse is Ephesians 6:5 says, "Slaves, be obedient to those who are masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as to Christ." And here it's talking about the attitude of a slave toward their master. And we know that we have been saved, right? And we have been made kings and priests to our God. But not only that, we're also slaves of the Most High. And how should we serve Him? With singleness of heart. That means our only goal is Him. Isn't that awesome? I just got so enlightened. Like, wow. Even using that, the matter of slavery here, in our relationship with the Lord, there should be singleness of heart. And that's how we should serve Him. Then another verse is Colossians 3:22. "Slaves, obey in all things those who are your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing the Lord." So that, you know, in these two cases, in Ephesians and Colossians, the attitude of the slave and the view of the slave is only one, and that is to please his master. That's it. Oh, Lord. And we know that we have been enlisted by Him. And we live that we may be well-pleasing to Him.
Amen.
So may this weekend, as we are coming together, may many transactions take place between us and the Lord, that He can purify our heart.
Amen.
And then our life could have this kind of trajectory.
Amen.
You know, our goal is God Himself.
Amen.
Right? And if our goal is God, we will be rewarded with God. In Hebrews 11:6, it tells us that those who believe in Him must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him.
Amen.
Part of our seeking has to do with our heart. And if our heart is pure, then we will be rewarded with God. Amen. Because the pure in heart shall see God. Amen. Don't you want to see God this weekend?
Amen.
I want to see God this weekend.
Amen.
Lord, purify my heart.
Amen.
Okay, then, as we continue, there is the need that if there is anything between us and the Lord, if there is anything in our conscience, as we come to this weekend, we would take the time to deal with whatever is bothering our conscience. And the way we deal with our conscience is by confessing our sins. If there is anything that you need to confess, take the time tonight to spend some time with the Lord. Lord, I open to you, turn my heart to you. Is there anything that I have done that I need to confess, that I need to be forgiven for? And as you start opening, light will come. Don't go back to try to figure out what's wrong with you. Just open to the Lord. And in the Lord's light, the Lord will shine. He will let you know, okay, maybe your attitude with your roommate, maybe the coarse joking this past week in the hallway. All those things are in your heart and actually are bothering your conscience. And they need to be confessed to the Lord, because we know that God is light. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all, right? And as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another.
Amen.
This weekend, we want this to be a weekend full of fellowship.
Amen.
With the Lord and with many other believers. And in order for that to happen, in order for the fellowship to be rich, our conscience, I would say, our heart needs to be sprinkled with the blood from an evil conscience.
Amen.
That we may serve the living God.
Amen.
You know, if we are those who are exercised to have a conscience that is void of offense before God and man, our fellowship with the Lord will be rich. It will just be a rich fellowship. We'll be able to just open to the Lord and receive from him. And if our fellowship is rich, I assure you, your intuition, when the Lord touches you, when the Lord anoints you, also will be rich in feeling.
Amen.
In your intuition, you will be rich in feeling. Intuition is a feeling from God, directly from God, not affected by the environment, not affected by anything our, but is the anointing, right? According to 1 John 2:27, it tells us that the anointing that we have received from him, it says, as for you, the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone teach you. But his anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and even as it has taught you, abide in him. Right? So we want to have a rich feeling when the Lord anoints us, right?
Amen.
And that feeling is interpreted by our renewed mind.
Amen.
Right? We also need our mind to be renewed this weekend.
Amen.
So that when the Spirit anoints our intuition, we would be able to interpret what is it that the Spirit is trying to say.
Amen.
Haven't you had a situation, maybe you're contacting the Lord, you're having a time with the Lord, and you have a burden, you have something deep in your spirit, but you don't know what it is. Have you had that feeling sometimes, that experience? And then as the day grows, you know, as the day goes on, then you start understanding what that feeling is. And then you realize, oh, that's what the Lord wants me to do. Isn't that wonderful? That's God moving in you.
Amen.
Because you have a clear conscience.
Amen.
And because your fellowship is rich. Maybe that feeling is about a prayer concerning someone. Maybe that feeling is about dealing with a certain situation in your life. And the Lord makes you clear where in your spirit. And then you realize in your mind, I need to do that so that I can continue running the race together with my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for our heart. May the Lord fill us. You know, actually, we just have to lay hold of the promise and actually of the fact that the love of Christ has been poured out into our heart. Where is the love of Christ poured out? Into my heart.
Amen.
So this weekend, as we're together, we'll have times together in the meetings. We'll have times of fellowship during the meals. And also we will have times alone. Use this time to love your Lord.
Amen.
Get to know him. Get to spend time with him. As you spend time with him, you just get filled with him. And I pray that all of us, as we go back on the Lord's Day afternoon to our respective homes or colleges or campuses and so on, we would go another way.
Amen.
Why am I referring to? I'm referring to the fact that the Magi that came from the east, they were led to the Lord by a star,
amen,
right? And then because of their concept, they ended up in Jerusalem because they thought, well, we're being led to the birth of a king, and he must be the king of the Jews, so we're going to go to Jerusalem where the kings are. But actually, he wasn't there. So when they went to Jerusalem, the star disappeared. And then they went to ask Herod, and then Herod inquired from the scribes and the Pharisees, where is Messiah supposed to be born? And when? They knew. So they looked it up. In Bethlehem. Judea, Micah 5:2 is right there, right? So then they were led back. You know, they were being led by the living Christ. Then they came according to their concept. And they, oh, it's not here. So then they were returned back to Christ through the scriptures. Praise the Lord for the word of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the Bible.
Amen.
Then when they went, you know, they went, then the star appeared again. And they brought them to the house where the Lord was. The little child was there with his mother. And they brought these gifts. And then because they heard, right, because they realized that Herod, you know, was upset, he says, and they, when they left, they went another way.
Right.
Every time we're led by the Lord to the Lord himself, we will never go back the same way.
Amen.
We will go back with more Christ,
amen,
with more vision, with more resolution to bring our Lord back.
Amen.
This is why we're living on this earth. We want our life to matter and to bring in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
What does that mean? That means we are those who are giving our lives to bring the Lord back so he can establish his kingdom on the earth today.
Amen.
But that starts with your heart and with my heart. So I just conclude with this. In Matthew 6, when the Lord taught his disciples to pray, he told them to pray in this way, right? When you pray, pray in this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, your name be sanctified. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
So my prayer for all of us tonight is, Lord, your kingdom come in us.
Amen.
This weekend, bring in your kingdom into my being. Lord, teach me to enthrone you in my life and to live in this realm where you can do whatever you want.
Amen.
Lord, gain my obedience in the kingdom.
Amen.
I want you not just to be my Savior, but to really be my Lord.
Amen.
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 May the Lord bless us this weekend.
Amen.
With his speaking,
amen,
with his presence,
amen,
and with much fellowship both with him and with one another.
We could just have some prayers with the ones around us.
So just a few announcements. Maybe you could turn to the back of your packet. There's a schedule here, page 18. And we could just go over that real quickly. So the next thing on the schedule is the prayer in the rooms. If you registered, you should have a sticker on your either your booklet and also your name badge. It'll tell you the building and also the room that you're staying in. For those who are here the first time, if you have trouble, you need to maybe you could either ask the ones that are around you who are here that have been here before, or there are also maps at registration that you could pick up, and then you could find yourself or find where you need to be. Just to let everybody know, all the buildings, they're either designated as males or females only, and so just to be aware of that. So for example, I think in this building, underneath this floor, there will be males, brothers, staying here. And then some of the townhouses, it's all female. So just so everybody will be clear on that. So after our prayer time, really encourage everybody to bring your stuff to your rooms, get settled in, introduce yourselves if you're with ones from a different campus or locality. And then we recommend, or we'd like everybody to have lights out at 11, just because the next day, on Saturday, we're asking everybody to wake up at 7:30, right? So we want everybody to get a good night's sleep. And then breakfast is at 8. Because of the dining facility, we need to stagger breakfast. So the sisters, you guys could come first at 8 o'clock and help yourself through the breakfast line. And then the brothers can come at 8:15, okay? So we'll do that for every meal. So then for lunch, the brothers, you all will, to eat first. Regarding the heat, every room has a thermostat. I was told that the setting is broken, but it works. It works. Everybody will have heat. It's just that you don't need to turn it past 55 degrees because the setting is broken. So it says 55, but it's actually much higher. Okay, so just to let all of you know, you could set it around 55, 56. And then the camp wants us to turn off. Actually, I think it might be good just to turn it lower just because I think it's going to freeze, right? It might freeze overnight. It shouldn't freeze. Maybe when you're leaving the rooms in the day, just to turn it off, to turn off all the thermostats. And then also remember to turn off the lights, okay? And then the next thing is, so after we dismiss tonight, there are some snacks. I think they're dry snacks, some chips. Everybody could help themselves with, let's start with one. And then if there's a lot left over, then you could come back for more. Okay. And so, again, if you haven't registered, if you haven't told the sisters that you arrived, please do so. But other than that, we're dismissed until tomorrow morning. So the first meeting will be at 9 a.m., but we recommend people coming a little earlier so we could start singing and start enjoying the Lord. Okay, so we're dismissed.